Daily Scramble Live with Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty. Today's guest,
18-year-old indie rock prodigy Grace Mitchell.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty.
Good morning. It's Daily Scramble Live. I have no voice.
Elvis got you too hard last night.
Oh, my goodness. What a night. Great night down at the Marine Room Tavern. If you weren't there, you missed out. But today we're going to do my favorite thing, it says here.
Well, is it?
Well, my favorite thing is to lay on the couch, eat Cheetos, and watch Netflix.
But what's your favorite on-air radio segment?
Oh, I love to do Walman's Wardrobe.
There it is. And then later on, we've got a gentleman who knows his beer calling in. His name's Greg Avola. He's from a smartphone app that all beer lovers have called Untappd. St. Patrick's Day is 2 days away, so he's going to talk all about beer with us.
Beer.
Yep.
Okay. And you don't want to miss Grace Mitchell. She's wicked, really good. She's 18, and she's got an old heart, an old soul. And she's on at just after 9 o'clock today.
Let's get you a spot of tea, huh?
Sounds like a good idea.
On KX93.5, your daily scramble news now.
All right, we'll start off in local news this morning, courtesy of the Laguna Beach Independent Newsroom. South Coast Cinema, the downtown movie theater in Laguna Beach, where film fans used to enjoy first-run releases, may reopen as early as April, showing vintage and art house films, according to a theater spokesperson. Chris Leonard, a representative for the theater's owner, Leslie Bloomberg of New York, said, "We're hoping to open as soon as we can, but nothing signed yet. The theater operator has yet to finalize the lease," said Leonard, who declined to identify the prospective tenant, beyond saying it's a local business operator. The theater has been vacant for 6 months, and the interim use will at least bring in some money. Bloomberg, who also owns the two retail spaces on either side of the theater's entrance, they've also been vacant for some time now. Unbelievable news.
Great news.
Very exciting.
If it's, well, you know, obviously we have to be careful because they're saying it may not happen.
Right.
But it's certainly, it's the way to go.
It is the way to go. We've been saying all along, I hope whoever this person is listened to our show.
Yeah.
Please stop releasing Melissa McCarthy movies. And can we put on something cool and indie and right. retro? And, man, I really hope they nail it here.
And, again, as a movie theater, you know, the previous owner or the whoever it is who was running it before discovered that there's no point trying to compete with the big multiplexes. It's a waste of time. Parking's difficult around there. You just cannot compete. The seating's
better. If I want
to
see the Avengers, I'm going to go see it on a screen three times as big.
Right.
You know,
3D and nice big seats and blah, blah, blah. That theater is absolutely perfect for silent movies at midnight and all of that kind of stuff.
Rocky Horror.
Yep, yeah, Rocky Horror, absolutely.
It's going to be awesome. I really hope they nail this.
Young Frankenstein,
doing the right thing.
That's what. Young Frankenstein on a Saturday night after the bars are closed.
I love it.
Really?
There's two things I would have done with this theater. This one is one if I had had $16 million or whatever. And the other is gut it and put in folding chairs and serve beer like they do at Sinopolis, and then you can compete.
Right.
Those are the only two things I think
you
can
small.
Do.
I don't think it's too small a bit unless you knock down the dividing wall. Even then, you can't.
Yeah, you might not make money with that.
No.
Yeah.
They don't make money on the movies, do they? They make money on the candy.
On the concessions, yeah. So they'd have to improve that a lot. But I miss going to the movies in town, even if our sound and screen aren't necessarily the best.
Know,
but it's the right reason to see a movie if it's an indie or kind of off the wall
great.
Film.
A series of the movies of Jacques Tati.
Okay, you're losing me on that one.
No, he's great. Very funny sort of French silent movie maker of the, like, well after silent movies went away. So 1950s or 60s, but whatever. Everybody can think of their pet, you know, Criterion movie thing.
Well, there's even a lot of new movies that have very limited releases that you can't see in big theater.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Oscar contending movies
that
get released in one theater in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
If we can serve that need too, man, it'd be cool.
Foreign language movies, totally great. Loads.
Great.
There's loads.
So as early as April, they're saying, that's a couple weeks away. So I guess they're just going to get the keys and open it up and do it.
Well, they're teasing us. Let's see if they can follow through.
Indeed. Let's look a little bit outside of town at an international story this morning. In a surprise move, Russian President Vladimir Putin has ordered his military to start withdrawing the main part of its forces in Syria on Tuesday. He said the Russian intervention had largely achieved its objectives. The comments come amid fresh peace talks in Geneva aimed at resolving the five-year Syrian conflict. Russia is the key ally of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, whose office said in a statement he has agreed to the move. The pullout was in accordance with the situation on the ground. Russia began its campaign of airstrikes in Syria last September, tipping the balance in favor of the Syrian government and allowing it to recapture territory from rebels.
It's Damascus Interruptus, isn't it? Mission accomplished. Vladimir Putin.
The only reason you put Russia stories in here is so you can do your Vladimir Putin accent.
I am putting shirt back on going back to Moscow. Oh, please. He's just, you know what he's doing? He's just making fun of us. He's just saying, you know what? We're not going to have a 20-year war. We're not going to stay in some foreign country, you know, desperately trying to create peace and then get taken over by Islamic fundamentalists. We're not going to do what you did. We're smarter than you.
He probably hates us even more because he watches House of Cards.
I think he finds us amusing.
Have you seen
the rest of the world does.
Have you seen him in House of Cards?
No, I have
him,
not.
Him portrayed as a different Russian president who's really the same guy.
There's a new series of House of Cards.
Yeah, it just came out. Don't ruin it, though. I'm only on episode 2.
I haven't seen it.
Okay, good. All right, that's your news this morning. We'll get to some more stories later on. And Jason and I are going to talk Japan in a moment as he just went there. And now you can become a ninja.
Oh, I get to talk about that now?
You do now.
Oh.
Yeah.
I almost forgot that trip so long ago.
Here's a band called High Highs. It's KX93.5. Good morning. Vampire Weekend on KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. It's Daily Scramble Live. How is this Japanese?
Well, it's close to Japan. It's closer than us.
It was
either that or blast off.
Jason and I are proceeding to talk about Japan and a Japan story, so this is the music we're playing.
It's Eastern.
Because we're racist.
Yeah.
You just got back from my favorite country in the world, and I apologize that we didn't talk about it yesterday. Mm. There was much to discuss that I had to talk about that was far more important.
Yeah.
So now we have we're ready. We're ready to talk about your trip.
Yeah. Oh, well, I went to Japan obviously to try and find out a bit about my genealogy and see if we could discover where my ancestors.
Did you visit old grave sites and where samurai had fallen on their swords?
I went to Japan because my good friend and my therapist.
I can't listen to this anymore.
Anyway, Joe Ferguson called me and he said, "You want to go to Japan? I'm going to a wedding." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Okay, we're going to do a 2-week trip and we're going to discover the nature of the universe and we're going to go on a path to enlightenment."
Wow.
He's full of that kind of thing, Joe.
And he really sincerely meant
That's
all
what
that?
He wanted to do, yeah. The day that we're described for, assigned for the actual achievement of enlightenment, was in a place called Beppu, which is in the south of Japan. It's an onsen town, you know.
Hot spring
town. So, and apparently there are monkeys there. I never saw the monkeys.
Oh, that's too bad.
I never left the hotel. We had a hot spring on our deck, you know,
room. You bathed nude with Joe Ferguson?
You can get rid of that image out of your mind. No. We shared a room for 2 weeks. He told me that I snore like there's a helicopter landing on the roof, but so does he. So I wish I'd recorded
both of you.
The opera duet every night.
Because you're in close quarters in like a ryokan in a traditional Japanese bed and breakfast. Yeah. You're both on the floor.
We both got silent headphones. So, but if you put silent headphones on, it's a weird thing. Silent headphones get rid of that sort of low hum.
Uh-huh.
If you put silent headphones on, all you can hear is the snoring. It's very clear. It takes away all the sort of hum and the white noise, and you're just left with this pure. But we did all right. We did all right. We didn't kill each other, and we had some great conversations. But that last day before the wedding at Beppu, we were supposed to, like, he'd booked 5 hours of massage for us.
5 hours?
Yeah. So 3 hours in the morning, a couple of hours of recuperation in the afternoon.
That'd make you sick.
And then I felt sick by the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. And anyway, you can't meditate when you're being massaged. It's way too I don't know, sensual. Is that the word?
Maybe.
Yeah. Sensual, yeah. Because it's, you can, you know, too much going on in terms of how you feel.
Well, what are your comments or thoughts on the juxtaposition of Japanese, like I don't know how to put it. They're so internal, they're so quiet, they're so polite and peaceful. Mm. But then I don't know if you had an opportunity to go to like a bar or a club,
totally,
or a place where, yeah, they're being rambunctious and weird.
You
know,
sent,
I mean,
us to Maid Bar in Tokyo.
Maid Cafe.
Maid,
yeah,
Cafe. You've got to Google this. No, don't do it now because you'll ruin your day. Maid Cafe. How do you even explain what that is? It's kiddie porn, isn't it?
It's
basically.
It's probably 19-year-old girls,
yeah,
dressed as maids,
mm,
serving you food,
yeah,
in a really not provocative way, but just,
no, it's
just that they're, it's just like, you know, that they know that, you know, that they're dressed like maids,
yeah,
and they want to play that up.
It's some kind of, it's like a Japanese Hooters.
Yeah, in a weird way.
And they come over and they sing to you and they make you do goofy hats, think, you know, little sort of hand games, make a shape of a heart with your hands, you know, with your,
yeah,
and all of that kind of stuff. And just, it was very bizarre. They serve you dessert, poorly made dessert.
The food's terrible.
And then they say stuff like, they say, cat, dog, rabbit. And you go, huh? Cat, dog, rabbit. And you have to choose. So you choose a rabbit and they draw a rabbit on your ice cream with syrup. And you're like, oh my God, I've really got to get out of here.
It's so weird.
I'm going to jail.
Did you take pictures with them? Did they have like a, the one I went to had like a stage and you had to take pictures?
I imagine that we did. Joe took all the photographs and did videos. They're probably online. I haven't looked at the photographs.
Oh, Joe,
yet.
Joe sent me a video of you at the Maid Cafe.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. Saying, cool, please don't share this with anyone.
It's a little creepy, man. It is creepy. But they're not. Joe's a doctor of psychology. And after,
okay,
about two or three days, he said, I'm trying to sense, like, because they're so nice, the Japanese,
right,
so polite and,
right,
nice and service oriented, and they want to help. And every time you buy something, would you like it wrapped? And then they wrap it in this beautiful origami style with perfect lines, you know. And he said, I'm looking for repressed anger, but there isn't any. They don't seem to be,
yeah,
repressing any. It's not like the Caribbean where, you know, they're smiling at you, but you know they hate you.
They're definitely repressing something. They've got to be. I mean,
well, everybody is, aren't they? A little bit.
They're so overly polite. And then when you go to, like you mentioned, you went to that bar where you were sitting next to a woman dressed as a robot, or what was it? Just, and then they just go completely.
No, you totally know. I was with a bunch of robotics people.
No, you said there was someone dressed as a robot.
No.
Oh, maybe that's just what I pictured.
Yeah. I was a bunch of research scientists. They were very nice, strange, but
I swear you said you were sitting next to robots.
We did it. They play games in the bar, and they're very sort of, they don't leave you to have a drink.
Yeah,
they want to have a communal experience.
Yeah,
and they're just so nice, and it's so clean, and it's so quiet, and everywhere's beautiful, and all these shrines and temples,
mm-hmm,
are like churches here. They're on,
right,
street corners.
Right.
And people are using them for the purposes of whatever spiritual thing they're doing. And so they're not just sort of some ancient Disneyland pagoda thing that you pay to get in. You don't pay to get into any of them because they're there for your public use, you,
yeah,
know. So it's not a Disneyland version of itself, which is really impressive, I think.
Well, I'm really glad you got to go and see it. It's impossible to describe. As you can tell, we're both having trouble explaining Japanese culture,
mate,
to you.
We went to sumo at 8 o'clock in the morning in Osaka. Did I tell you about this?
No.
So we're trying to figure out how to see sumo. Well, the sumo wrestling is played out in tournaments throughout the year.
Yeah.
There are only certain tournaments. You can't see it every Saturday or whatever, like you can during the football season here or baseball season. So we're trying to figure it out. We found a concierge service online. And the guy said, well, they're all in Osaka. Even the guys from Kyoto, which is where we were at the time, they're in Osaka now training, but we can get you in. So we're like, really? He said, yeah, $130 a head. We'll get you in. So we're like, well, that would, you know, the ticket would have been that to see a tournament.
Right.
So we're like, okay, let's do this. So 6 a.m., we drive from Kyoto to Osaka. It's about an hour, 2-hour drive, something. And we meet a girl, 25-year-old, very hungover Japanese girl. She was really hungover. at an underground station, underground railway station. She comes out and she gets in our car and she guides us, directs us to a warehouse behind a car dealership on the outskirts of Osaka. And you walk, I mean, it was freezing cold, man. It was way below freezing. It was really cold. It snowed the night before. So we're in this place, this warehouse, and you walk to the back of the warehouse and surrounded by heavy machinery. They've built one of those mound things that the sumo wrestlers fight on with a circular, with a ring on it so they can push each other out. And there are 30 of these guys, all in diapers.
Right.
Standing there, I believe diaper is the correct term.
It is, that's right. Yeah.
I think it's pronounced diaper, but anyway, it's a diaper that they're wearing. And please don't call in. And they're all on this thing, and they're doing exercise, and doing that thing where they lift one knee up and they lift the other knee up, and they're just, and then they're bashing into each other. And there's one young guy, he doesn't have his top knot on his head. He's got a lot of hair, and it was the hairdresser, the sumo's hairdresser that met us and brought us into this room. There was only the hairdresser and someone who must have been the manager or somebody standing around smoking while these guys do their gym
just, it was
training
just practice,
thing.
Training.
Yeah, and it's just me and Joe and this hungover Japanese girl and these two other guys who didn't talk to us at all, except the hairdresser said, the one without the top knot, he's a new guy. So they're bashing into each other and they're doing the practicing sumo. After about an hour and 10 minutes, Joe turned to me and said, I can't feel my feet. I said, all right, let's get out of here. So they were like, are you sure? Are you really? You want to leave? And I mean,
what are you going to do for another couple hours in there?
I think we were supposed to have our photographs taken with them, but it was we'd plenty of video of that.
Yeah.
And so we went to Denny's for breakfast, where they served us cold fried eggs and very, very thin bacon. Very thin, like ham.
You know, I was lucky enough to be there during a sumo tournament. And we went out of our way to go to a town I can't remember the name of. Started with an N. It was about an hour outside Tokyo. And we went there, did the same thing, but we went to the ticket window at 6 a.m. and waited in line. First people to get the tickets. And my buddy and I saw an actual sumo tournament.
Right.
It's a weird sport. Yeah. Weird, weird sport.
But it's a simple sport.
Yeah.
I mean, really the idea, they just push each other out of a circle.
Right.
And it's over very quickly.
Yeah, it is. It's very fast.
You know, a lot of slapping. A lot of big fat men who look like babies slapping each other.
Yeah, pretty much.
Very weird. But it's some ancient ritual thing too. It's got some ancient stuff, samurai stuff around it. We did that. I could just go on all day. I mean, we went for a tea ceremony, which is very nice. And they said, "What are you doing tonight?" And we said, "I don't know." She said, "Come back at 7 o'clock. We're going to do a sword demonstration."
Cool.
I said, okay. She said, yeah, we're sort of testing it. We want Western people to come to this thing and give us advice on, you know, the show and to try and, we're trying to perfect this thing.
Okay.
Like a focus group, right? So Joe and I show up after a whole day of walking around shrines and temples and all that, you know, just, you know how beautiful it is. And they took us in taxis to some other place in Kyoto. We went in a little room, a little office room, and there was a guy standing there in full samurai regalia, and he's the master of whatever, and he barely speaks English, but he's sort of talking us through this thing, and they put a rolled-up raffia mat on a pole, wet, so it's a stiff thing like a tree trunk, this thing, and then he whacks it with a sword, and he slices it, and then he talks a bit more, and then we all got a chance to do it, to slice through this thing. So I got up and I sliced through this thing with a big sword, and
like an extremely sharp sword.
You could shave with this thing.
Yeah.
It was enormous.
Yeah.
And it's 500 years old, this thing, you know. And it was great. It was a little focus group. But I've learned a lot on the radio in order to help them.
Okay.
So there was one woman, and we've all met somebody like this, who she knew too much, right? She was German. We couldn't figure out her accent, really. It was affected, her accent, German or Portuguese. I don't know. Ukrainian. I don't know. Anyway, she... She, Latvian. Anyway, she knew too much. She'd taken some classes.
She was an audience member.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she'd taken some classes in this Rishiki or whatever.
I'm already annoyed by this woman.
Yeah, yeah. And so she said she was asking, the questions were too high level for the rest of the group.
Right.
And she was clearly just trying to show everybody how smart she was. And it was a great way for me to say to them, if you're looking for advice about how to do this,
uh-huh,
when you've got somebody who knows too much always shut them down. Shut them down immediately. It's no good for the rest of the group.
Uh-huh.
You want to keep the rest of the group interested. If they want to talk to you one-on-one after the thing and tell you how brilliant they are, fine. And this one was going on about how she'd done it before, and she's and she got up to slice this thing. Couldn't do it. I did it first time. Whack! So that was really interesting.
I'm sure that you could go on forever. Your experiences.
The Japanese people are so nice. It's so clean. There's not a stick of trash anywhere, and there's no trash cans. So
right.
It's so bizarre, isn't it? Right.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Nowhere to put your trash. They're taking it
out. I was always putting stuff in my pocket all day because you can't litter. Feel terrible.
No.
But there's nowhere to put it.
Nothing. If there's a stick of trash, you know a tourist threw it.
What a strange country. I'm glad you got to experience it. I had a much more normal time in the United Kingdom.
Right. It's not quite as weird.
No, it's not.
I don't know. For an American, is it weird, though? Is it a Disneyland?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's definitely weird, but I mean, it's just kind of like, oh, that's a little bit different. It's not, well, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. You know, it's just like, subtly, okay, I see the difference between our cultures.
There are differences, though, and it is a parallel universe. When I first came to the United States, a lot of things you have to get over.
Right.
And I'm struggling to think of what they are now, but, you know, we are really two people separated by a common language.
Yeah.
The language thing, because we speak basically the same language, belies the fact that it's really quite different in a lot of ways.
That's a good point. Yeah, you're right. All right, we're going to play some music now. Thank you for listening to our rants about foreign cultures. Cage the Elephant's got a new song called Sweetie Little Jean on Daily Scramble Live. So yesterday, Jason and I talked at length about the cultural arts plan, the thing that's being proposed by a consulting group to shape the future and vision of the arts in Laguna Beach.
Yes, don't turn off, don't turn off, don't turn off. We're not going to go on about this for too long, and it does affect you, it does affect you.
So last night, this consulting team, David and Victoria, presented the revised final draft of the arts plan to the Arts Commission, and to make a long story short, it did get accepted. So now they will go to the city council with this vision for what Laguna's arts will be. And it includes things, just to summarize really quickly, like building a cultural arts facility, like creating a communal workspace for artists and creative minds, to better foster artists' live workspaces in town, and to create more events and programming for the arts year-round, not just in the summer. Somebody put it really well. They said, let's take advantage of the silence between the festivals. The months where
that's clever.
Where we're here by ourselves.
Good slogan. Yeah, good.
I love it.
Now, explain this to me. So the council have now taken this plan on board.
The commission.
The arts commission.
Yeah.
So now, does that mean that they've agreed to talk about it? Or what does it mean?
Well, the arts commission
going to do something.
The arts commission cannot adopt this. The city council has to.
Okay, so they bring it to the city council.
All the arts commission's vote did is say, we're satisfied with this. Council, you take over.
Oh,
so now the council will vote in a couple weeks.
So it's an odd way around, isn't it? In a parliamentary system, you'd have the elected body would discuss the bill and figure it out. Then they would send it to the unelected body for checking, and then they would send it back to the elected body. This way, it's gone to the unelected body first, the Arts Commission, and then it goes to the... Interesting how they've done that. Anyway.
Well, the Arts Commission helped them a lot in revising it and making it ready for the city council,
right,
I think.
Right, it's a technical thing. But yeah. So now it's going to go to the city, and do they adopt everything that's in the plan?
Well, what's interesting about this plan is it's not really like, okay, we're adopting this, and here's all the action items we're going to do.
Right.
It's more of accepting, this is the direction we want Laguna's arts to go. This is a vision we can all agree on. Let's come up with some ways we can start putting it into action. But overall, it's more of a, this is where we want to go, where we want to be.
All right.
That's how I see it.
It's a kind of vision thing. So they say, we agree that we should have some kind of community arts place, location, venue.
Right. And there might be portions that they don't agree with. Say, we don't want that, but we do want
the specifics of it are not yet in, right.
Yeah, because it's very broad. It's very overwhelming. There's a lot of ambitious things in there. But again, it's a vision. It's a, can we all agree in an ideal world, this is sort of what we want Laguna to be. And you should read it if you want to know where Laguna's arts are going. You know, me as a 20-something who's going to be in this town for a long time, it affects me greatly.
Yeah.
And it should you as well. So go to the Arts Commission's website, click Cultural Arts Plan. You can read the whole thing.
You know, I love it because we've sort of been so directionless. I've countless times been sitting around listening to musicians, artists, complaining about the state, how there was all so much better in the old days. And, oh, I remember when Laguna was brilliant and blah. Let's make Laguna great again. And
right.
And it just gets tedious after a while. I'm like, let's make,
do something.
Let's make some art, dude. I'm bored with this right. conversation.
Right.
You know, and if we can encourage the people that buy art, that promote art, and that are patrons of the arts, it's so important to artists to be part of the conversation. That's even... That would just be one big, shiny ball of beautiful niceness.
Well, and one great thing from this is whether or not action is taken tomorrow, it has created a conversation,
yeah.
like you just said, that needs to be had. And all the several people spoke at the Arts Commission meeting. They said it was one of the best well-attended meetings they've ever had,
good.
And only four people spoke. So you can see the lack of interest in these meetings, typically. And they said... There were a lot of opposing people, not a lot, but a couple, saying it needs this, it needs this, it doesn't have this. And the commission pointed out, look, you may be opposed to this, but you've never come here before.
Yeah.
You've never had the need to talk about this and tell us what you want before this plan existed.
Right. And I've been to a few of their meetings, and it's been very inspiring because they have been talking. I have not agreed with everything, and I've thought that certain issues are... unicorns, like they don't exist really for us,
mm-hmm.
or they're red herrings or whatever, and okay, and I think that's okay. I think we all can agree and disagree, and I've learned some stuff, and I've seen things from other people's points of view that I hadn't thought of before, and it's been, the conversation has been on a very intellectual level. It's been smart. They've been smart about the way they've talked about this stuff, and for me it's a joy because I just want to see the arts continuing Laguna Beach. It's, you know, it's part of our heritage, and it's worth $50 million a
right.
year to the city.
It's a big
not
deal.
Just some sort of airy-fairy thing. It's, you know, oh, we need arts just because it's important. I think that's true, but there are good financial arguments, fiscal arguments for making the arts or keeping the arts at the forefront of Laguna's image.
Now, I'd like to solicit going to the Arts Commission meetings in one more way. It was really entertaining. Before they got to the cultural arts presentation, there were several other agenda items.
Yep.
And public policy is so interesting, and it can be really fun. And if you've never watched the city council meeting on Cox, which you can do, it's really entertaining. So there were these three artists that were vying for a public art display of Heisler Park. Okay.
Right. The city's big on this. Everywhere you look in town, there's something that was paid for, organized by the Arts Commission, paid for by the city, and the artists got paid to do the big waves at the end of Forest Avenue.
Right.
Many
right.
a park bench, stuff at Heisler Park, all the way at fountains throughout town.
So if you don't know, the way they do it is they have the finalist artists present their idea, then they pick one. I mean, it's like American Idol for local artists in public art. It's really quite exciting.
And it can be worth good money to the artists, you know.
Right. So last night, there's these three artists vying for a new bench display at Heisler Park that would go basically at the most iconic position in Laguna Beach, right there kind of by Las Brisas, you know, as you start walking around, you can see everything. They want to put a few benches there.
Right.
So they're looking for some artistic benches.
What do they call that thing? Is it a pagoda, that thing?
Because it's a gazebo.
That's right.
But I think it might be farther along the way from there. So all these artists present. And the last woman who goes struck me the most. She was Italian, and she talked about how her benches will take you to like a new world, like this existential, like if you're sitting on her bench, you'll feel something you've never felt before. And I was like, okay, this is getting good.
Well, you know, that's part of the art. Right, a lot of crap talked about art.
Which was very entertaining for
me. You will get to sit on my bench. You'll get to put your bottom on my bench. How close? This is very sexual feeling, very sensual. It's a lot of sexual tension involved in my bench.
She made me really excited about her bench, not to lie. So all these artists present. It takes 45 minutes, and they're really into it, and they go through all these presentations. They have models. They have scale models they're putting together.
Yeah.
They have PowerPoints. They have samples of the material. And then Then one guy in the commission goes, well, thank you for your presentations. We've reviewed everything.
How many were there?
There were three. We reviewed everything actually before tonight, and we're not going to accept any of them. Thank you very much.
Oh, my God. You're all out.
I laughed out
like
loud.
American Idol, where they went, we don't have a winner.
Couldn't believe it.
We don't have a winner. You
so,
all suck.
So here's where it got really good. Yeah. The Italian lady went back on the mic, and they were trying to stop her. Like, no, 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 no more public comment.
She didn't want to
but
stop.
But she went off.
It was, Bastardo, this is the greatest bench ever made.
She was upset, I think rightfully so, that these artists spent all this time, all this trouble, for very little pay. Apparently they get paid to do it, but not very much, according to her. And then they didn't accept any of them. It was just like, it was really entertaining. It really was.
Well, I feel sorry for the artists, but that's part of the nature of the beast, you know. It's the same for musicians. You make a lot of demos, and some of them are...
Right.
One of them's great.
And they're very protective, rightfully so, of this spot at Heisler Park. It's one of the most, like I said, iconic spots in Laguna Beach. And they didn't feel any of those benches lived up to their standards.
If you win, you take a photograph of it, and it's in your resume, and you go to other cities, and it legitimizes artists to some degree, and that's part of the game.
I just had to remember we were talking about a bench, because it got heated in there. And then I was like,
This is not about the bench. This is about the existential blah, blah, blah of my thing.
It was so funny. But anyway, go to public meetings. They're great fun.
They can be great fun. They really can. You can watch it online, you know, on where is it on? Is it on a Cox?
Well, it's on Cox Channel 260, whatever. I'm assuming you can watch the Arts Commission meetings as well, but I know for sure you can watch the City Council meetings.
If you watch you know, I watch them quite a lot, and if you watch 10, 20 minutes a week of that stuff, you become really informed.
Oh, you do.
About local
issues, and you become
really
passionate. I mean, you start to really have a say and a stand on certain
things. It's where it all begins on the local level. It really is, you know. Some of the nastiness about in the general election right now wouldn't happen if people were a bit more engaged, I think.
Right.
And I'm just as guilty as anybody else of.
Well, the Arts Commission wants to see more people come to their meetings. They were amazed at the attendance last night. However small it was more than they ever get.
Yeah.
So go, you know, on Tuesday nights or Monday nights for Arts Commission, Tuesday night for City Council. It shows that you care about what happens in this town.
They would love it.
Yeah.
If you showed up with two or three friends, do they provide coffee? Sometimes they do.
No, there's no coffee.
Sometimes they do.
No, I didn't see any coffee.
Depends on the issue, I think. I've had coffee and cookies at that thing before. I have.
I
there's big trays
any.
Of Costco cookies.
Maybe you can suggest that.
Maybe it was, I don't know what it was. But anyway, you know, you could take a thermos flask and you could get down there with your friends and make a party.
I went with Zach Churchill, our musician friend, and we hung out all night. And he went up there and talked because he felt engaged. He felt passionate all of a sudden.
Oh, no, lovely to see him into it. It's great.
It's great.
Very cool.
All right, it's Daily Scramble Live. We're KX93.5. We got a lot of guests this morning. A gentleman from the phone app Untappd, which is all about beer, is going to talk to us about St. Patrick's Day. And Grace Mitchell is going to be in studio after 9 a.m. They found a new dinosaur.
I saw that, yes. It's great news. This is good news.
It's
good
cool.
news story, yeah.
There's a newly discovered species of Tyrannosaur, which, of course, the T-Rex, Tyrannosaurus rex, is the species to which that belongs. And they found what? It's a Timurlingia.
Yeah, I don't know why they called
Timurlingia.
It that. I think somebody called Tim found it.
You know,
so they named it after him.
Dinosaurs are usually have quite easy to say names, but
it's usually a somethingosaurus, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Timurlingia now. Yeah. So it's like a really tiny T-Rex. It's a T-Rex the size of a horse, and apparently this particular species.
It's a T-Rex. How cute!
It's cute, a little horse T-Rex.
It's a bonsai.
Just picture its little tiny hoof claws. You know, T-Rex got little arms. It's like a little horse.
Hoofs.
Little horse hoof
yeah,
claws.
Yeah, that's why it died, because it couldn't move. Couldn't pick any food up.
So apparently this particular dinosaur's 90-million-year-old brain are crucial in discovering the Tyrannosaurus's dominance and maybe how they went extinct and figuring out more about the T-Rex, which is a big mystery in the dinosaur kingdom.
Didn't they die? I thought they all died out in the Cambrian thing. Where a meteor hit the Earth.
Well, I mean, that is a
theory.
Hypothesis.
Right.
But
I don't believe,
not.
Obviously, I don't believe in any of that stuff. I think the Earth is 6,000 years old and dinosaurs are placed there by the devil to throw us off the truth.
Do you want to? Do you know what the closest thing is to a dinosaur that we have in life today?
Birds.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
Yep.
It's not.
It's birds.
It's not birds.
It's birds.
Birds aren't even reptiles.
Birds.
It's not birds.
Well, no, dinosaurs. Oh, I suppose, yeah. No. Birds are not reptiles now because they're birds.
I don't think you know what you're talking about.
I do, seriously. No, I've seen the thing about the thing on
it. The answer is an alligator. It's an alligator. Well, it's basically a dinosaur. It's a dinosaur.
Too obvious.
Scaly.
I don't believe it.
Fierce.
I think they're later. I think alligators are later.
Alligators are the oldest animal we have.
Is that true?
I think it's true. I don't know.
I can't Google because fast enough because I can't I can't type.
Mario teaches typing.
I know. I've got to do the Mario teaches
typing. I sent Jason a game from 1992 that allowed me to learn how to type on MS-DOS.
If only I could type really quickly and Google really quickly and go, actually.
But you can't.
And
but
make it sound soon, like I knew.
Soon when Mario but teaches
birds,
typing teaches
But that's
you.
Why birds' eyes have evolved way beyond our eyesight.
Bird's eyes.
Birds' eyes. What is bird's eyes? It's fish fingers, isn't it?
Bird's eyes?
No, there's a make of frozen food called bird's eye.
I don't know.
It was advertised by Captain Bird's Eye when I was a kid.
I have no idea.
Captain Bird's Eye. Anyway, their eyes are different to ours, and they can see way farther and greater distances and a wider panorama. Because it's a different
How do we get on this
strain
subject?
Of something. I don't know.
They have a new cousin of the T-Rex.
I've completely run out of
and
steam.
And hopefully it will teach them more about the Tyrannosaurus Rex. I think it's awesome. It's really
cool.
That
some of these huge dinosaurs that we think of as lizards actually had feathers.
Really? Yes.
It's obvious, Tyler.
What if they all live in space now? What if they became so advanced beyond us they moved to another planet?
That meteor hit Earth, scraped Earth, and just picked them up,
took them somewhere else,
yeah. What if we go to another planet and we see there's life on there and we get there and they're just great big horrible beasts like that and we land on
it
the planet.
It would be really cool.
And there's the coolest people that we really like a lot because they're astronauts and we're invested in them as our heroes. They just get eaten the minute they land. Terrible.
I recently wrote a list of life goals, and I've told you this before, but I put it in writing. I will start a radio station on Mars.
Radio station on Mars.
It will,
who are you going to broadcast to?
The Martians.
Oh, of course. Sorry.
it's Daily Scramble Live. KX93.5. Good morning. That's our buddy Andrew McMahon, Orange County local, who absolutely made it huge in several bands. Jack's Mannequin, Something Corporate, now going solo in the wilderness. The song there was Canyon Moon. It's Daily Scramble Live on KX93.5. It's the Jason Fetty Show.
Oh, I missed that bed track. That's...
Man, it's been forever.
Oh, no, it's good. I'm going to rejuvenate it.
The first criticism I ever got about our radio station was saying, I really like that guy in the midday show, but he's got to stop playing that. Austin Powers.
Yeah, he's British. We get it.
Yeah, exactly. all right, so I went to the United Kingdom recently.
Yes, you did.
And I have so many questions for you. Okay, and we were talking about how there are subtle differences between our two nations to the point where I have lack of understanding of certain things, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, hang on, I gotta find it. Here we go.
Yes.
Questions.
By the way, I'm qualified to speak for the entire British people.
Thank you.
Yeah.
When dining at restaurants, mm-hmm. here's my first set of questions.
Yeah.
Is it extraordinarily polite to eat anything with your hands? For example, pizza.
Yeah, you can eat pizza with your hands.
Nobody did.
Was everybody you'd knife and fork?
Yeah, knife and fork.
Yeah, do you remember Jon Stewart on The Daily Show used to rant about that, about people from New York? I think it was Chris Christie. He caught Chris Christie on film in New York at a pizza place eating pizza with a knife and fork.
Really?
And it drove him nuts.
Well, it drove me nuts in England because I feel the need to eat with a knife and fork, but it's a piece of pizza.
Yeah, nobody cares,
Tyler. All right, good. All right, they answered my first question.
It's not 18th century British aristocracy. Nobody.
It felt like it.
It's fine.
Now, on the same topic, we were at the same pizza place,
mm-hmm.
and my mother did not eat all of her pizza.
Were you at Pizza Express one of those?
We were fancy Pizza Hut. No, we're at an Italian restaurant. So my mom did not eat all of her pizza. Okay. She ate half of it.
Right, and she said... I'd like to take this home with me.
Not quite. She said, I'm done. And the guy was like, you're done? And she was like, she said, yeah, I don't want any more food. Like, I'm full. He's like, are you sure? And he actually had no idea what to do. And he was like, "Well, do you want to? Can you do you take it with you?"
She How said, dare you?
No, she said, "No, we're
you
traveling.
Don't like the food here. Get out."
He just stood there. I mean, he honestly could not take away a half-eaten thing. So, the next question is it extremely impolite to not clean your plate?
No, this guy's a lunatic. No, nobody cares about that kind of thing. It's ridiculous. No.
Okay.
You can't have one example of that happening to you. You've got
no, there were multiple examples.
You've got a crazy waiter.
Everybody around us always ate all their food.
Don't you always? If
we
you
never did.
Really? It was actually in Victorian times, it was always respectful to leave a small amount of food on your plate.
Oh, we certainly...
Because that showed that you weren't starving hungry.
Okay, well, you're contradicting all the things that I assume, which is good. That's why I'm asking you.
Well, it's not Victorian times, is it, anymore? It's different. Times have changed. And that whole, all those kind of manners things, I think have gone out the window in Britain, as far as I can tell.
Are nachos a fancy food? That's my next question. There were nachos on the menu of upscale restaurants that we went to.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Well, it's not, you know, Mexican food here is street food. It's
right.
There are posh Mexican restaurants. I went to Tortilla Republic the other day with Monica
for
lunch.
That's very posh.
Totally. Well, yeah, and really great food there. And, nachos is a little bit exotic in Britain.
Oh, okay, all right.
They don't have that much Mexican food, and what they do have isn't generally very good.
It makes sense, because nachos were on menus with, like, steak and chicken and nachos as an appetizer.
Yeah.
Huh, interesting. Mm. Okay, how about when finishing your meal...
Yes.
Is it you have to ask for the bill? We learned this.
You have to sing the national anthem as soon as you finish your dessert.
You don't get the bill. They don't just bring it to you. You have to flag them down and ask them.
Could I have the check, please? Yeah.
Right.
The check, though, the bill. You don't say the check. They don't know what that means.
Oh, we said
the check.
The check
would be, you know, you write them a check kind of thing.
Oh, interesting. But most people just sit there for some time.
Spelt, by the way, C-H-E-Q-U-E.
Ah, indeed.
Check.
They sat there. They lingered for a long time after dining.
Who did the waiters?
Everybody else besides us. We're ready to go. We got stuff to do.
Well, yeah.
People just sitting there.
That's interesting. You'll get indigestion doing that,
observation.
You'll get indigestion. You're supposed to sit and talk, have a glass of port, send the women into the ante room while the men talk business over a glass of brandy and a cigar.
All right. I want you to do examples for me. Here's my next question. Of different dialects, different accents.
All right,
because here's the places we spent time in. Start in posh London, like Kensington.
I see. Lovely. Very nice. Yes. Do go ahead. Off to you.
All right.
Yes.
Like East London, like
deep. All right. Yeah.
All right.
How you doing? Lovely.
There are a few of those guys.
2 pound of carrots, 49p. Come on, love. Roll up. 2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps, please. £1 fish. Come on in.
Right?
Right. I didn't know anything you just said, which is the whole idea. Yeah. Liverpool.
Great.
It's almost Scottish, isn't
great.
It?
Great. That's great, da. That's great, da. Hey, calm down. Hey, our buddy, calm down. Don't start. Don't listen to him, Barry.
That's good. It is like
great.
That. Yeah.
That's great.
Now, not to be confused with a Scottish accent. So can you do that?
Scottish accent?
Yeah.
I struck him, by the way. Today, what's that, you big bass? What's that? Is that a deep-fried Mars bar you got there in your pants? Are you pleased to see me, McTavish?
Go on.
And of course, we were Irish. We were in Northern Ireland.
Oh, great. That's very nice. Lovely. Very nice. I was on the road to Tipperary. Is there any work? Anybody got any work?
I'm upset I've never asked you to do this before. It's really great. You're really good at those.
I lived there a long time.
Okay, I think that pretty much closes my... my questions.
Was that a question? What was the answer?
Yeah, the question was, can you please do all the dialects of the United Kingdom? Oh, I have a comment and question. We listened to almost exclusively BBC Six.
Oh, yeah, that's quite a good station, isn't it?
It's quite a good station.
Yeah, alt rock stuff.
It was the closest thing I've ever heard to KX93.5.
Yeah, you can't find it online, so don't look for it.
It's, no, certainly not. You can't listen to anything else online besides us. Mm-hmm. But they played a really cool combination of old and new. Mm-hmm. They did the news the top of the hour, as all BBC stations do.
Yeah.
But they had this weird infatuation with 90s hip-hop. Like they would play like our enemy station on the same channel in Los Angeles. Mm. They would play songs like that, just ghetto 90s hip hop. Hmm. Did not fit in for me at all.
Did I?
Yeah, that closes my lines of questioning.
I hope I did well.
He answered everything I wanted to know. We should discuss it at some point. Now that I know my Irish heritage, the history of feuds between the British and the Irish, because I learned a lot about how much I should hate you, actually, as an Irishman. So,
I'm not British. Listen, mate. My grandparents were from the Ukraine. It was a stepping stone for me.
Coming up, we're going to talk to Greg. He's from the smartphone app Untappd. We're going to learn about beer as we prepare for St. Patrick's Day. I think that's pretty cool. And Grace Mitchell's going to perform live for us after 9 a.m. And Mike Waldman's going to count down some rare tracks.
Busy morning on Daily Scramble Live.
KX93.5, this is Daily Scramble Live. I'm Tyler Russell. Jason Fetty's here as well.
Hello.
And we're joined on the phone now by Greg Avola. He's the CTO of an app, a smartphone app called Untappd, which teaches you and helps you discover beer anywhere in the world. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're well.
Good,
thank
man.
You for joining
Thanks
us.
Thanks for calling. Yeah, hi.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
We're happy to have you on because it's come up really quickly, but St. Patrick's Day is only a couple days away.
Exactly.
And we want people to be educated about your app so they know in what ways they can use it. And we also want to talk about beer and some trends in Southern California. And I like your app because it kind of does the same thing that our station claims to do for music. We're all about music discovery, and your app is all about beer discovery, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the whole premise of what Untappd is supposed to be is help beer drinkers out there find the next great beer. And what we're trying to do is give them the tools and the resources that they have to get them to a bar that they'll try a beer that they're going to like. When you walk into a bar, it's really hard to pick which one you're going to like because there's so many different versions out there. There are thousands and thousands of beers out there, and ultimately you want to find one that you like, and our app helps you find that next great beer with our discovery features and also for locations as well.
Yeah, it's actually a very good app. I was looking at it as I was driving in this morning, but I almost dropped my pint, so it was a bit complicated for me.
Sometimes you have to take a little bit closer look at it when you had a few.
Well, there's probably not a lot of discovery happening on St. Patrick's Day in a couple days because
no,
of it. It's
yeah.
no surprise that the number one beer, according to your app data, is, of course, a draft Guinness on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, I mean, Guinness is obviously the national choice, obviously, for St. Patrick's Day. The really cool stat that we have about this beer in 2015 is, nationally, the average of the top hour that people drink on St. Patrick's Day 2015 was around the 7 p.m. local time. And in that time, Guinness was checked in once every second on Untappd. You can see how wow. crazy people get around the Guinness brand when it comes to St. Patrick's Day. It's kind of like peas in the pod. People just gravitate really quickly toward the Guinness beer. On the
so will your app do like Waze does for people driving? Will it tell you where the best pint of Guinness is? People type in, you know. I mean, you know, because Guinness is a funny thing, isn't it? It doesn't travel very well, really. And if it's not if it's not looked after properly, it can be you know, less than satisfying.
Yeah, we provide information on where the top bars and the restaurants are around your location. So kind of like Waze in the sense where you can go in and you can discover your popular locations around you, as well as new beers. So one of my favorite features of the app is if I'm traveling, I can go and open up the app and say, oh, where are the local breweries around me or where are the local beers that I want to try? So for St. Patrick's Day, it's not going to tell you where the best Guinness is located, but it will tell you where the most popular places are. So if you want to go to a crowded bar, per se, Untappd can help you out on St. Patrick's Day for sure.
And I was surprised by your data. I thought it was funny, actually, that a lot of the drinkers on St. Patrick's Day, I mean, some of the big numbers are as early as 2 and 3 p.m. So people are rushing out of work to get a pint on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, we see it start to spike. I mean, the peak hour is obviously 7 p.m. That's what we saw last year nationally, as well as your area out there as well. But it all depends on really when the day is for St. Patrick's Day, right? So in 2012, it was on a Saturday, and we saw it really spiking around 11 a.m., 12 p.m. But you can see the numbers from the prior year, 2015. It really jumps from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., almost two times as much. But the highest hour is around 7 p.m. Local time. So it really depends on what day of a week it is. Now, it's Thursday this year. I expected it to be a lot earlier. People will maybe take off Thursday and Friday to celebrate that, and then they're really going to have some fun with the weekend.
Well, Jason,
it's also
and I
March Madness as well. So,
oh yeah,
it makes March Madness with St. Patrick's Day all together. It's going to be a crazy weekend.
Jason and I are doing our show live from a local Irish pub called Hennessy's
on
Thursday morning, so we may have a check-in as early as 7 a.m.
There you go. You're going to skew the data a little bit. I like it.
You know, I imagine that 11 a.m. on St. Paddy's Day can be as busy as a Saturday night on an average week. You know,
it can.
These places get so slammed. And you, what surprises me is that you sound like a pretty cool guy who can, you know, put a string of sentence together. You know, where I'm from in Britain, beer lovers, like people that are really into it, it can be a little bit sort of train spotterish. You know, the real ale, but they're really sort of, you know, you can't come in our pub because it's our particular old Theakston's old peculiar or whatever it is, you know, that they're drinking. But the whole American scene of microbreweries and stuff, it's really cool.
Very intellectual.
It can be, but it's also cottage industry. I mean, I approve.
Yes.
I think it's really good that these sort of one-man operations and family-run breweries are still going, and they're beating the big breweries at their own game. Because some of the American beers are so weak and insipid, you know.
It's funny that you mentioned that. I mean, I think the American Brewer Association, and also the culture here, is about more community-based. I call it the Etsy effect, where individuals can really kind of give back to their community in terms of making these breweries. I've been over to London before and the UK, and I know what you're talking about in terms of talking with people over there that use on the Untappd app as well. They're very strict about which beer, from the real ale perspective, cask ale, things like that.
Yeah.
It's very different than the United States. I mean, beer obviously is served in a higher temperature. Mostly it's all cask ales. In the U.S., it's the inverse, where everything's usually served mainly off a draft line.
But
I think the whole notion of community and bringing everybody together is what makes the brewing industry here so relevant and so interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of like wine for the common man, isn't it, really?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's kind of how we kind of position our app as well. I mean, we are obviously really big into the craft scene as well, but we are an app for everybody, not necessarily for those that are diehard craft fans. But if you like to drink the big macro breweries, we provide services for you as well. So we don't want to be, stereotyped to people that are only in the craft world. Our goal is to educate the user and get them discoverable for new beers and new locations, irrespective of what kind of beers you drink.
Again, this morning, we're talking about the smartphone app Untappd. Greg Evola, the CTO of Untappd, is on the phone. You can download that, of course. There's no E at the end, Untappd with a D. And St. Patrick's Day is just a couple days away. I want to ask you kind of a personal curiosity beer question of mine. I love Belgian beers. I just went to Belgium, of course. It's the beer capital of the world. And I tried a couple Trappist breweries while I was over there, but I just found out that we actually have a new sort of Trappist brewery in the United States, in Massachusetts. Do you know about that? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, it's called Spencer, I believe. It's the name of the Trappist beer out there. It's relatively new. I think it's actually, it's probably in the last couple of months or maybe that it was actually invoked. As I look back here, I think the Trappist brewery, I think it actually was 2013, maybe, that it was invented. I actually have not had a beer from them yet.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of Trappist as well, but it's great to see that this notion of Trappist brewing is coming across the pond, in a sense, to Massachusetts, which is actually my home state where I was from. So it's pretty cool to see that. I heard a lot of positive things about it. I had a friend of mine who went and visited the brewery at Massachusetts, and they said it's great there. So the atmosphere is very, very high for this, and I think people kind of want to have the same kind of feel without having to hop over a plane to kind of visit this kind of brewery.
Yeah, well, people do make, I made kind of a nomadic search of beer in Belgium, so I would imagine that people are going to Massachusetts to try this beer as well. It's a big deal that the U.S. has one. Well, St. Patrick's Day is upon us. Guinness, of course, number one. People here in Southern California drink a lot of Stone as well, San Diego brew. So, go ahead.
Exactly, because Stone actually is in Escondido and also in San Diego as well. They got their two brew pubs there, which are fantastic. If you haven't been there yet, I definitely recommend checking them out. They're kind of an experience in itself, but it's fun looking at the top beers across the country. It really depends on where your local breweries are at. We see a lot of, I'm from New York, and we see a lot of local breweries that pop up, but nobody beats Guinness on St. Patrick's Day. It's kind of like a sure bet. I mean, you can't really lose if you go with Guinness on St. Patrick's Day.
Well, I'm about to have one. 7 a.m. Thursday morning. So.
Well, it's been, you know, listen, I'm an alcoholic. It's been 15 years since I had a drink, but I'm getting thirsty now after this conversation. Maybe I'll have a tipple on Thursday. Who knows?
Please don't. Yeah, don't know.
All right.
Greg,
hey, you know what? You could do the same, though, for marijuana. You could do the same for... Have you thought about doing an app for cocaine users? I mean, I don't know.
I can't really comment on that for sure, but I think the whole notion of what we're doing is to try to connect users with things they love, and beer is a very social activity, and it really hasn't had an online presence besides message boards in the 21st century. So we try to take the real-time aspects of beer drinking, what makes it great if you're doing it with friends, and translate that to an online presence. So that's kind of the goals of what we're doing, and it can be applied to other mediums, but... You know, for now, we're kind of focused on beer and seeing where we can go with that.
Rob, if you want to franchise out later on and get into other things, maybe prostitution would be something you could think of. I mean, you know, you can have that idea. By the way, I have not patented it, so it's yours, my friend.
Run with it.
Greg, we
do appreciate you taking time this morning. And the app is called Untapped. Use it on St. Patrick's Day. Use it whenever to help discover beer. There's so much out there. And as a craft beer drinker myself, it helps to have something to kind of guide you in your search. So thank you very much, man. We appreciate it.
It's great, man.
My pleasure. Have a good day, guys.
All right, you too. See ya.
Thanks.
Deo, si me deo. Delight, come on, me want go home.
If our listeners have never heard our reggae show on Monday nights,
you gotta listen to that.
Laguna Roots Reggae.
Yeah,
it'll blow you away.
Yeah,
it's authentic. I mean, it's like right out of Jamaica.
It's the real thing, man.
Hosted by two white guys.
Talk like this, man.
They're great. Yes, I saw Miles last night. Miles Wiseman.
Wiseman, yeah, feeling iry.
He's the coolest. Him and Dan are awesome.
And on St. Patrick's Day, they're feeling Irish. Feeling Irish.
Coming up, we're going to have in studio Mike Waldman to showcase some rare tracks. We've got your favorite, an ELP track this morning. And then Grace Mitchell will perform live for us, 18-year-old singer-songwriter after that.
But before we do that, let's observe a moment's silence
for
Keith Emerson. That's all right. That's enough. Go on. Bye.
Cuts so deep, you'll need scuba gear. It's Waldman's Wardrobe of Musical Wonderfulness on KX93.5.
Yes, it's Waldman's Wardrobe of Musical Wonderfulness. Every week, Michael Waldman, local musicologist, an all-round good guy, slayer of dragons, converter of virgins, all-round bon vivant, arrives at the station and he brings with him rare tracks, which we like to have here because we're a generational alternative rock and roll music station and we like the interesting stuff.
Great intro. One of the best.
Oh, I'm on it today a little bit. I'm glad you're back. I felt yesterday was good as well. Just felt a bit more
I think it's the scarf.
Invigorated.
It's the scarf I got you.
It's a very nice scarf. It's from Glasgow Airport's scarf rack.
It was from the, oh God, I didn't get Jason a gift, airport store.
They have a scarf rack there and most airports have a sushi bar these days and sort of an oyster thing, oxygen bar.
Yeah.
Glasgow Airport has a deep-fried Mars bar. Scottish people from Glasgow, they've all been to Tenerife for the holidays and it's the air's too clean for them, you know what I mean? It's like they can't handle it. So they when they get back to Glasgow Airport, they pour a bucket of trash over their heads and they feel better.
Anyway, Mike, what music are we listening to today?
We want to pay a little tribute to Keith Emerson.
Oh, whatever.
Please don't get him started on this again.
Oh, he's been trashing him for a whole week.
I haven't been I put a thing online saying, I think maybe I'm going crazy or I've got sort of celebrity death fatigue, but I don't care.
I think that's a great television show.
Celebrity death fatigue. I think you're being very disrespectful to a man who shot himself in the head.
You know what? When you shoot, there's no excuse for that. He shot himself ostensibly. What they're saying in the press is that he shot himself because he was worried about his next performance.
His nerve damage in his arm.
All right, okay. Well, you know what? There's probably more to this than meets the eye. It can't just have been about that. And that is a really pathetic excuse for killing yourself and putting your family through the misery of your unnecessary death, in my opinion.
All right.
Well, let's just say that One has to either be severely depressed, which is an illness.
Of course. It's a serious thing.
Or you have to be seriously on drugs, which is an illness. So let's just say God bless the guy, and let's not trash him too bad.
Thank you, Mike.
But, you know,
I'll get my coke. I was looking
at what I wanted to bring in for him, and interestingly, there's not a whole lot of Keith Emerson songs
that are
under 20 minutes long.
You know, we do have Keith Emerson to thank for punk rock, in part.
Is that those, right?
Yeah, bands like Emerson, Lake and Palmer, Yes, those bands. Punk was totally a reaction to that.
Well, let's just say Yes is an awesome band and move on, okay? But anyway, I found one of the things that they are known for, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, are taking classical music and turning it into rock songs. So that's really what their genre was.
What did you say they turned it into, sorry?
Classical music and turned it into rock songs, you could say. Like, for example, they took the March of the Wooden Soldiers and turned it into Nut Rocker.
So they took works of genius and turned it into crap.
But anyway, I found a classical rock song that they took.
Okay.
And turned it into, as Jason would say, crap. And ironically, it's called Peter Gunn. So here's Emerson, Lake and Palmer doing Peter Gunn.
Ladies and gentlemen, Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
That's the sound of ELP on KX93.5, one of the greatest prog rock bands, I think we can all agree, ever to live. And now we're going to play the entire second B-side of Yes's live show from the Ryukyu, what do you call it, in Japan.
You better not hope anybody from Yes dies boring. On my watch, because I am going to come in.
Are they still alive? Are they alive, Yes? No, Wakeman's
sure,
dead.
Sure, actually.
Isn't he?
No, Wakeman's not dead, but their bass player just died.
The bass player, Chris Squire. Is that his name?
Was
that
the guitarist?
No, Chris Squire, Steve Howe on guitar, Wakeman on keyboards, who played drums.
You know a lot about a band that you
hate. Alan White.
Alan White, that's right. Yeah.
And they are awesome, and I will be glad to prove it to you any day of the week.
I think the words you're looking for is suck the big donkey. Is that what you're trying to say? I know what you're trying to say, Mike. Let me help you.
Awesome rock band. But anyway, let's move on. So that was Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
I appreciate Mike keeping the focus today. I'm back. I'm just backing away. He's got you under control today.
I'm going to smack you in a second. Okay.
Go on.
Next you're going to attack Nancy Reagan.
Oh! Have you got any tracks by her? What did she do?
Her and Mr. T collaborated.
Yeah. Just say no, fool.
Anyway, we're going to move on to somebody who's on tour right now. This is somebody else that I think that I know that you think is completely self-important, boring.
Who is it?
It's Mr. Gordon Sumner.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Gordon Sumner, otherwise known as Sting.
Some great music, though.
One of the great rock, one of the great singer-songwriters of our time. This is a guy who
has
sold.
He's a bit of a prat, though. You've got to admit. But that's all right.
Here's what I don't like about him. He actually broke up the E Street Band.
No.
I hate him for that.
How did
but,
he do that?
He was hanging out with Bruce, and he was saying, you know, I left my band, and it's so great. And Bruce said, you know, that sounds like a good deal. I think I'll leave my band, too.
Lovely Bruce. He was, you know, that's the thing. You know,
it took 10 years.
Really? Oh, okay, then. Stan. They call him Stan the Band. You know that? They call him Stan because he's a bit. They try and bring him down a peg or two by calling him Stan instead of Sting. Sting's band. But, you know, brilliant. He's a great musician. And that was, the Police were great. And that first Sting album, solo album, the Dream of the Blue Turtles, whatever, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I like most of his solo stuff. Sold over 100 million records.
Oh, I loathe him.
Unbelievable. Yeah, exactly. That's why you hate him. So he's won 16 Grammys. He won Emmys. He's been nominated for Oscars. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's in the Singer-Songwriter Hall of Fame. He's
Zoolander 2 with Justin Bieber and Ben Stiller.
Kennedy Justin Center honor. But anyway, here's what this is a really rare track. I've had this for years and years in my little collection. In 1991, when he came out with the album Soul Cages, which was dedicated to his father passing away, it was kind of a sad album. Anyway, he went in and did a full-length acoustic concert in a radio studio in Chicago called the Chicago Sessions now, a DJ by the name of Timothy White. And this is from that. This is an acoustic version of Message in a Bottle.
Cast away an island lost at sea. Oh, another lonely day, no one here but me. Oh, more loneliness than any man could bear. Rescue me before I fall into despair. Oh, I'll send an SOS to you. I'll send I hope that someone gets mine. I hope that someone gets my message in a bottle. Message in a bottle, yeah. Message in a bottle. Message in a bottle. has passed since I wrote my note. I should have known this right from the start. Only hope can keep me together. I hope that someone gets my message in a bottle. Message in a bottle, yeah. Message in a bottle, yeah. Message in a bottle. This morning I don't believe what I saw. 100 billion bottles washed up on the shore. Seems I'm not alone in being alone. 100 billion cast away, looking for a home. I'll send that SOS. I hope that someone gets my message in a bottle, yeah, yeah, yeah. Message in a bottle. Message in a bottle. Message in a bottle. SOS, sending out an 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 SOS.
Cool. It's acoustic version of Sting's Message in a Bottle on KX93.5.
So did that pass the Jason Fetty test of coolness, or was it not cool enough for Mr. Fetty?
It's all right. I mean, you know.
Jealous.
I'm jealous. There's no way I'm going to get past that one.
100 million yeah. records.
A hurdle too big.
Yeah, what are you going to say? He's very successful. Well, all right. So was Hitler. We were supposed to like him.
Oh, God.
Donald Trump, very successful. Very successful.
You're making a stretch of a metaphor here.
Yeah, it's not the same. No, come on. I think Sting's very talented. And I think sometimes he gets it right, sometimes he doesn't get it right. And that's an art. He's a real artist, you know.
Yes.
But he's a bit of a pretentious wanker.
Yeah, I agree.
Has to be said.
He's saving the rainforest.
I remember going to see Bring on the Night, you know, the live Sting movie.
That was
yeah good. It was when he first put the band together, Wynton Marsalis and all those guys, and was it Wynton or Bradford, one of them anyway,
it was Bradford
playing. Bradford Marsalis. So all those guys together, and they were happy to be playing in front of huge crowds. They're jazz players, you know.
Yeah, and that bass player went on to become the bass player for the Rolling Stones.
Did he really? Who was the bass player?
I can't think of his name off the top of his head, but that is the truth.
They'll say that, you know, jazz players play a million chords in front of four people, and rock and roll players play three chords in front of a million people. So they were happy to be doing it, and they were rocking, and they were really great. And about sort of two-thirds of the way through the movie, I watched it in a movie theatre in England, in the north of England, and about two-thirds of the way through the movie, his wife, Trudy, who is heavily pregnant, gives birth. And we see the birth, and we witness the whole thing in the film. And I remember hearing people going, there's like every now and again you'd hear somebody go, no, we don't want to see Trudy's afterbirth. What's wrong with you? But do the gig.
What are we talking about anymore?
We're talking about Mr. Sumner.
It's like, Sting being pretentious. If he had a bass player in his band,
yes.
What was he doing?
He was singing. He was singing.
But he played bass in that band, Sting.
I'm telling you the truth. You want to make a bet on this?
No, I don't.
Here's another thing you want to make a bet on.
Care.
Sting, 4-hour orgasms. What do you think about that?
He's a tantric bass player.
He's a tantric.
Four-hour bass solos.
4-hour orgasms and 4-hour bursts.
Can you please tell us what the next song is, Mike?
Well, we are celebrating the fact that Mr. Bruce Springsteen, the boss, is playing L.A. tonight for the first night. Three sold-out concerts.
No flies on Bruce.
And he is in the middle of a tour where he's playing the double album, The River, in its entirety every night in every city. So this is the most, static? Is that static is where things don't change. So it's the most static set list Springsteen has basically ever had.
Cool.
And Fetty is going to see him on Thursday night.
First time.
I'm aware.
I'm bringing handcuffs to make sure he doesn't escape.
No, I'm going to really enjoy it. The weird thing is, because Mike's this massive fan, and there's a whole scene, which I didn't realize, of people that are such loyal fans to Springsteen. So, like, they go to 4 or 5 shows a year, some of these people. And we went for, like, brunch at Mike's house the other day. There was another guy there, a new friend of Mike's, who's from back east, lives in town, and they're talking about it, and I just felt like the new guy. Like I was going to be, there's going to be some weird ceremony where they flush my head down the toilet, hazing ceremony. Yes. The first time you've
been. Bloodletting. It's a bloodletting ceremony. So anyway, The River was a double album that sold 6 million copies when it came out. It was Springsteen's first number one hit. So when you sell 6 million copies of a double album, that actually counts as 12 million copies. And like the Beatles' White Album, had a wide range of styles, had rockabilly, country, ballads. It had rock. It had love, pain, happiness, sex, tears, love, loneliness. He said he wanted an album that was as big as life. When he first turned it in, it only had 10 songs on it, and he actually took it back from the record company, recorded another 50 songs, and finally released 20 of them as The River. Yeah. And over the years, he's released a lot of the outtakes, and what we're going to hear is an outtake from the original album. The original album was called The Ties That Bind. This is Loose Ends.
Cool. Mike Waldman with Rare Tracks every Tuesday. Thank you very much for these, and we'll see you next week, all right?
See you later.
We'll be right back.
I love my job, and I love it all the more when we've got live music in the studio. And Grace Mitchell is here. We've been playing her stuff for, I don't know, a couple of years now, and delighted that she's joining us in the studio with the two musicians here, Diego Cuevas on guitar and JR on drums. They're going to play a song, then we're going to chat. When you're ready, guys.
My focus when you caught me so off guard like that, trying not to look in the direction where you're standing at. The tension in here is like a short little fuse, and I'ma light this up, I ain't got nothing to lose. Do you feel me? I couldn't be more turned when I am over you, just dancing with my girls, and we knocking over chairs and ripping at our shirts, getting so slizzy while we dishing up this dirt, and we don't care if we'll be seen. Everyone's jittery. Voulez-vous danser avec moi? Do you wanna mix with me? I like what you got going on. Crazy really quick, all these kids are lunatics. Got the jitters up and listen, they might have to call it quits. Don't know how I'm getting home, can somebody ring my phone? Now I lost you, where'd you go? Said damn, that girl looks like her. Everyone's jittering. Voulez-vous danser avec moi? Everyone's jittering. What you got going on? You say nothing's wrong with growing up too fast. The more you speak, the more you act like being young won't last. And I won't never forget the day you told me how I should behave. I'm gonna make my own dance, cause I'm not too old for that. Oh, everyone's jittery. Voulez-vous danser avec moi? Do you wanna mix with me? I like what you got going on. Yeah. So everyone's jittery. Voulez-vous danser avec moi? Do you wanna mix with me? I like what you got going on.
Wow. So cool. I should be clapping, but it's just what the sound of two hands clapping. It's pathetic, isn't it? But no, you sound so great. And
oh,
and I was nervous to say jitter.
Jitter.
Because it's, well, you sing jitter.
Yes.
Everyone's jittery.
Jittering, yeah.
But because people here, they say jitter.
Yeah, well, oh, that was a good American accent.
Was it here? Look, use that mic so there's no reverb on it. It's all right, there you go. There you go, try that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
See?
That's better, yeah. Oh, good. I like the way you say jitter.
Jitter.
I wish I could sound like that cool all the time.
Feeling a bit jittery this morning. But yeah, no, we love that song, and from the EP from last year. What was the EP called? Remind me.
Race Day.
Race Day, of course it was, and with the Maneater on it, the Hall & Oates song.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've been playing that a lot, and also Nolo, which is more recent.
Cool.
Cut.
You said you've been playing it for years.
No.
Is that true?
Did I say a couple of years?
You said couple years.
Did I?
Yeah, I figured that wasn't true.
I'm going to edit that. I lied.
Oops.
I've not done any research. I don't have no idea who you are.
It's okay. I was going to say, wow, that's really cool. Excuse me. You can edit that too.
That's all right, because I have the power and the technology.
Good.
So where are you from originally, Grace?
Portland, Oregon.
Oh, by the way, thanks for coming down here today. And I know that it's early in the morning, and also that you've got a cold.
Yeah.
I heard you say, when's the Sudafed going to kick in?
Yeah.
Has it kicked in yet?
I think maybe it has. It's so funny. If the listeners could hear right now, I have like a tissue box.
Yeah.
Between songs, I'm like blowing my nose. It's a disaster. But it gives me this kind of cool, like, cigarette smoky rasp, which I like appreciate.
No, it's dead sexy. And of course, when the Sudafed kicks in, is that like a speedy thing or is it slow you down? Because the drummer's going to have to figure out whether to...
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's going to correct himself to my weird jittery tempo. No, I don't know. I don't typically take medication. I usually just let it drain out. But we've been on tour, so I've kind of had to, like, do everything that I can to just be, like, as well as possible. But I'm, like, certainly certainly sick right now.
How are the gigs going? You've been out with St. Lucia, right?
Yeah, we've been out with St. Lucia the last couple weeks. We started in Minneapolis, and then tomorrow night is our last show. Yeah. So,
how's Minneapolis? I'd love to go there. I've never been there.
It's good. My aunt lives there. I was able to see her. We played at the... What's the place that we played at? Yeah.
First Avenue.
We played First Avenue. Yeah, it's where they filmed Purple Rain.
Oh, right, of course, Prince being the, you know, scion of Minneapolis.
Very cool.
It seems like it'd be one of those places like Portland, where you're from, sort of liberal kind of vibe to it.
I don't know. I didn't spend enough time in there to get the, like, political climate, but, yeah, maybe.
No, they have a senator who's a
there's young people.
Comedian.
Is he?
Al Franken is a, yeah.
Oh.
He was a comedian. He wasn't a very good comedian. Apparently he's a good senator. So there you go.
Okay, well, political climate, there you go.
So are you writing right now, or are you just thinking about touring and driving around?
I'm writing a lot right now. We're in the process of writing the full-length album, so I'm pretty much in the studio every day when I'm not on tour.
When can we expect the album to be ready, do you know?
Ooh, I wish I knew.
Yeah.
It's so hard to tell. Typically, I don't really even know when things are being released until the day of, and someone sent me an email, and they're like, oh, we put this on the internet today, you're welcome. So it's really hard to tell at this point. But I will let people know as soon as I know, you know?
And what's the makeup of the band live? Because obviously you guys are doing stripped-down versions of songs for us today.
This is essentially it. We have a couple other programming things that Diego does, and JR has a bigger kit, obviously. But for the most part, Diego plays guitar, and JR plays drums and pads, and I sing.
Oh, I'm delighted to hear that.
Yeah, it's cool. It's pretty stripped-down, actually, on stage, too.
Yeah. Is that a plan from your point of view? Is that because you're opening for a band, you've got to get on and off the stage? It's a whole different skill opening for another band.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Being an opener is like, it's like tough, but it's also like one of my favorite things to do. Just because you get to hype up the crowd and like get the energy going.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah.
Do you feel that, do you stay behind for St. Lucia's set every night?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you?
Yes.
Come on, be honest, really?
The last night I didn't because I needed to go home and immediately go to sleep to get here this morning.
Right.
But yeah, we've been going pretty much every night.
That's great. Yeah. And they're nice people, they're looking after you?
Oh, yeah, super duper nice.
That's great. Very cool.
Yeah.
Would you want to do another song, and then we'll chat a bit more?
Yes, sir. We're going to do Nolo.
All right, so it's KX93.5. I should have said that 6 minutes ago. It's KX93.5. It's Laguna's only FM. We've got Grace Mitchell in the studio playing live for us through the snotty nose and I don't know what else is going on in there, the gravelly voice.
Don't tell him that.
No, you sound amazing.
Don't tell him that.
Cool. Grace Mitchell in studio on KX93.5. It's Laguna's only FM.
Eventually, the writing was all on the wall, and it told me to move on. We tried to dance, and you didn't want to look uncool. You took my hand, and I put my trust in you. Then you let it go. Whoa, oh, how do you top looks like when you're living on the bottom? And how do you know what a love looks like when your heart's been broken? I take some time, I gotta give mine, and you gotta know love if you wanna get high. Don't worry about me, it's all better now. You can worry about you, I'm all better now. Like water on my back, I know that you owe me some money, but we don't really gotta talk about that, cause I let it slide for you, honey. See you walking and you're looking so sad. I wish that I cared, but it's funny, I don't need you anymore.
you took my hand and I put my trust in you. Then you let it go. Oh, 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 how do you know what the top looks like when you're nipping on the bottom? And how do you know what a love looks like when your heart's been broken? It takes some time, I gotta give mine. And you gotta know love if you wanna get high. Don't worry about me, it's all better now. You can worry about you, I'm all better now. Ooh. Yeah. So nothing but a fact now that the hunters wrote like water off my back now. Need to get out my face and you coming back for more, begging for a little taste now. Said you can't touch, you don't pick up, but with my crew don't trust. And I know better now, I'm better than ever. At least my pumped up kicks get faded and never trip like. How do you know? Oh yeah. So how do you know what a love is? Take some time, I gotta give mine. And you gotta know low if you wanna get high. Don't worry about me, it's all better now. You could worry about you, I'm all better now. How do you know? Oh yeah. You gotta know low, baby. So how do you know what a love, what love is? Take some time, I gotta give mine. And you gotta know love if you wanna get high. Don't worry about me, it's all better now. You could worry about you, I'm all better now.
So great. Nolo there, that's Grace Mitchell. She's live in the studio. I love the tempo of that song.
Thank you.
It was take one and a half because they stopped to kind of speed up a little bit.
Yep.
Thoroughly danceable tunes and yet acoustic. I don't know what to say about it. It's just fantastic stuff.
Sweet, thank you.
What are you writing about?
In that particular song?
Well, yeah, why not?
That song is pretty straightforward for the most part. It's kind of a hidden metaphor, but for the most part it means that you just have to know what living in like an unhealthy situation is before you can be happy. You gotta know low before you get high. In any situation in life, you have to have that kind of balance where you go through some weird stuff before it starts getting really good. So that's what the song's about.
Do you know that the cerebral cortex is only grown in babies? And I'm saying this because I just found this out this morning.
Okay.
The cerebral cortex only grows after the child's born.
What? Wow.
Yeah, because it's too big.
Wow.
To get out of the mother.
Yeah.
Right? So you have to, that's why you have to learn stuff like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't come naturally. No. You look at your mother's face, and if your mother's face looks scared, you get scared. That's how people get anxiety.
Yeah.
First 6 weeks, it should be a law that you've got to smile at your kid all day long, regardless of how you feel.
Yeah, that sounds like a weird dictatorship.
Yeah, it's my dictatorship. Which and I would also make people wear name badges because I can never remember people's names.
Okay, me too.
Yeah. So Diego's on guitar and JR's on drums.
Yes.
And we've got Grace Mitchell in studio. There's more I want to ask you about.
Yeah.
Okay, so where can people find you online?
Pretty much any streaming site. We're on Spotify, Apple Music, SoundCloud, iTunes, Torrent. I don't know. You can get our stuff everywhere. As far as social media, we're all on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, MySpace. I don't even know.
It's Grace
LinkedIn.
Mitchell with two L's, right? It's Grace Mitchell with
yeah,
two L's.
Two L's.
Oh, and a T.
Yeah.
It's Mitchell.
Yeah, it's Mitchell. It's like spelled the very like classic way, and yet so many people spell it really bizarre.
No, you spell it the correct way.
Yeah, it's the way you freaking spell it, of course. Like, good grief. I've gotten people who spell it with one L, and I'm like, what planet are you living on? And then I got people that spell it like Michelle, and
no,
what I just said. I said Mitchell.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, I've got like...
No, I'm sure it's very annoying. My name's Freddy. I mean, I've been Jason Freddy, you know, all my life. It's very annoying.
That's
and if you Google Jason Freddy, the first things that come up are Jason versus Freddy.
Yeah.
In the Ferrari. Drummer likes it.
Yeah.
Drummer's into horror movies.
Oh, yeah.
Video games.
Jason versus Freddy, that's funny.
What a cliche. What are you going to do next? I don't mean right now in the studio.
Oh.
But what do you want to do next in your life?
In life. Well, I'm not really sure when this radio show comes out, but we should be at South By the time...
Oh, yeah. I should say, if anybody's been living in a cave for the last 30 years, South by Southwest is
yes.
a big music biz soiree in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
Where are you playing at South by?
We're playing, we have a couple of cool tents. We're playing the Perez Hilton show. Which
ooh,
is
that's
enough.
A fancy one.
I'm doing Spotify. I'm doing Republic Records, which is my label.
Yeah.
We're doing Apple. We're doing Flood Magazine.
You've got some gigs there.
Yeah,
that's
seriously.
Cool. Absolutely.
Yeah, a little shout out Flood Magazine. If you go check out March issue, I have a huge spread in March, so you can go learn about Grace Mitchell stuff some more in there.
Brilliant. Well, we're all going to want to know more about you. You're an interesting person.
Thank you.
And we're so delighted that you've come down here today from LA. I know it's early again, and you've got a cold, and you've been brilliant. And now I'm going to play Maneater.
Sweet.
Off of last year's EP, whose name I've forgotten again, Race Day.
Last year's EP was called, oh my God, Design. It was called Design.
Was it?
Yeah, but this current EP is called Race Day.
Ah, so this is off of Design.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say?
That's pretty much it, I guess, I suppose.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you for having us, Fetty.
Oh, it's totally
do you
want
to say anything? Vote. Oh, yeah. Everyone go out and vote for anything. Always vote for everything.
Good advice.
Yes, voting is so important.
Exercise I will do that.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, look, thanks for coming in again. It's KX93.5. Grace Mitchell's been here, and I hope you'll come back and see us next time you're around.
Sweet.
She only comes out at night, the lean and hungry type. Nothing is new, I've seen her here before. Watching and waiting, she's sitting with you. But her eyes are on the door. So many are paid to see what you think you get for free. The woman is wild, a she-cat tamed by the power of a jaguar. Money's the matter. If you're in it for love, you ain't gonna get too far. She can't.